Thank you, Ray Renner.
Is this okay. Down? It's okay.
What? That's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Can you hear me?
It works. You want to put it down?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Ray Renner. It's good to be on this campus for the first time. I have a lot of relatives who are around here. You probably know Mrs. Spiegel. The office is my aunt. Rai Blaustein is my uncle. So I have a lot of connections to Eitz Chaim. Next year I'll be an Eitz Chaim parent, but for my four-year-old, so up north. I really want to just share one idea from a very unique personality, Raishol Yisraeli. Raishol Yisraeli is in many ways a bridge figure across communities. He was one of the early Talmidim of Rav Kook. Now, many of the well-known religious Zionist Rabbanim were known for different things, were known often for their machshava, for their contributions to Jewish thought, but Rav Yisraeli was known primarily for his contributions in the world of classic Torah learning. Yisraeli moved from Belarus to Eretz Yisrael. He became a Talmud of Rav Kook and others. And he eventually opened a kollel for Dayanut, for people to become rabbinic judges, called Eretz Chemda. He was the Rav of Kfar HaRoeh, which was a moshav, an agricultural kibbutz. And much of his contributions were in the world of agricultural law. As we know, there are many mitzvot that apply in Eretz Yisrael that do not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. And since he became the Rav of an agricultural moshav, an agricultural community, he was faced with many questions that hadn't been dealt with on a mass scale for many thousands of years, and therefore he wrote a book which is dedicated to learning the laws of mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz, the mitzvot that are land contingent and therefore only apply in Israel, called Eretz Chemda. And I want to share one idea from him. So let me ask you. I'm sure all of you are aspiring Talmidei Chachamim, and I'm sure you have wonderful Rebbeim and learn a tremendous amount of Torah, but be honest with me. How many of you sometimes, you don't need to tell me how often, need to take a break and do something different? Go play ball. I don't know what you do. Whatever you do. Okay, I assume anyone who's not raising their hand is lying. I'm assuming. Right? You all do different things, right? Some of you like playing sports. How many of you like hiking? Got some hiking, swimming. I don't know what else. What else? What other hobbies do you? Basketball. I said sports. Baseball. I know all the sports are different. What? Video games. Okay. Right. Baseball. So we all understand that we appreciate Torah. Torah is very important, but we all know that there's other parts to our personalities, to our life. Most of us can't sit at all times and just learn. And even those of us who would love to, not all of us will have the privilege of doing that. I feel weird saying that because I have the privilege of learning Torah all day, but that's because that's my job. But most people won't be able to do that. And you'll get whatever job you do. Keep that in mind for a minute. Rabbi Yisraeli asked the question. He said, if you look through Chazal, there's this notion called Torat Eretz Yisrael. Torah Eretz Yisrael, the unique Torah of Israel. What does that mean? What does it mean that there's a unique Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Or if you take, what Gemara are you learning this year?
Makos.
If you take Makos and you go on a plane, right? You drive to Pearson, you buy a ticket for whatever, however many thousands of dollars it'll cost you to get a last minute ticket. You fly to Eretz Yisrael, you have your Gemara with you, and you open it up in, pick your place in Eretz Yisrael. What's your favorite place to be in Eretz Yisrael? What?
Yerushalayim.
Okay, I got some Kotel, Yerushalayim. The old city, okay. People like Yerushalayim, good. What? Did I hear anything not in Yerushalayim? I mean, Yerushalayim is great, but the Shuk, that's still Yerushalayim. Okay, we all got different places in Yerushalayim, fine. I'm sure someone said not Yerushalayim, but that's okay. You take your Gemara Makot, and you go. And you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you open up your Gemara in the Shuk, in by the Kotel, in the Old City. How many people think that when you open up the Gemara, it's going to look differently than when it than if you open it up right here in the Beis Medrash here in Neitz Chaim? It's going to look differently. How so? The weather will definitely be different. That's true. The sun will be shining on it. The page will be easier to read. That's sure. That I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's
going
to be
easier
because you're going to be in like more
easier places. Maybe, right? Maybe. What? So you're in a holier place, but is the Gemara going to look any different? Meaning, what does it mean, Taurus Eretz Yisrael? It looks pretty much the same. Maybe it's a little bit sunnier, it's a little bit warmer. Maybe there's Kedusha in the air and it affects how you learn. I don't know. But the Torah looks basically the same, I think. I think I've learned the same Gemaras in Eretz Yisrael here. Seems the same to me. Maybe I'm not attuned enough to spiritual forces, but it seems basically the same. The words are the same. The ideas are the same. So if Israeli asked, he said, what does it mean? What does it mean that there's this thing called Torah Eretz Yisrael, that the Torah in Israel is different? So Israeli suggests a very simple idea, but a very profound one. And it touches on what we started with. How many mitzvot are there? Good. How many of those apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? I'll flip it around. How many of those only apply in Eretz Yisrael? A lot, right? A lot, right? There are the mitzvah that apply only in the Beit HaMikdash, which that alone, you look at Sefer Vayikra, is a lot, right? Each Karban, it counts as its own mitzvah. So we have an Ola, and we have a Mincha, and we have Achatas, and we have an Asham, and we have five different types of Ashamos, just Asham Vaday, you can go on forever, right? And then in addition to the mitzvot in the Beit HaMikdash, we have all types of different mitzvot. Like what? What mitzvot do we have in that only apply in Eretz Yisrael, but not in the Beit HaMikdash? Yeah. Shemitah. What else? Orla. Meiser Sheni, Meiser Rishon, Truma, Yovel. Right now, some of these only apply when Rov Yisrael is there, when the Beis HaMikdash Kayim, but these mitzvot only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Well, we just said Korbanot. We said, right, there's many different mitzvot that only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Let's leave aside the Korbanot for a minute, though. Let's focus on the mitzvot HaTluyot Baaretz, the classical ones. Truma, Meiser, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, Arla, Shichicha, Leket, all of those. Ololot. If you don't know what those are, that means you have to learn more Mishnayot and Zerayim. We can describe some of them, but basically the portions that we give to the Kohanim, to the Levim, to the poor, etc. when we plant. Imagine for a second, remember, this is new. We live post-industrial revolution. Most of you, when you're thinking about what you're going to do when you grow up, I'm going to guess that very few of you, maybe there'll be one person in the crowd who really wants to be a farmer. Maybe when I ask the question, who wants to be a farmer, someone's going to lie to me. But if I ask the question now, who actually wants to be a farmer? Of course, after I say that, I get 12 people. Okay. I tend to think that most of you either don't want to be farmers, don't plan on becoming farmers, or at some point will realize that you live in Canada and the chances that you're going to be a farmer are not so great, right? This is a cold climate that's not really, you know, we're not farmers. But it used to be that was the economy. It was an agricultural economy. Most people were working the land. So the Israeli said, imagine that you're a farmer. For those of you who honestly want to be farmers, okay? Those of you who are going to be farmers in Canada. So, I want you to imagine for a moment what your day is going to look like when you want to be a farmer in Canada, okay? So, you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Right, you wash your hands, then what do? You, what? Moda'ani, brachot, you go to shul, okay? You go to shul. So at that point, you've devoted your day so far directly to Hashem. You've been davening, you've been doing mitzvot. Agreed? Agreed. Okay. Now what do? You learn a little bit. This is great. You learn for a little bit before you start work. You have some breakfast. Fine. Now you go to work. You go to work. Okay? You go to work. Now, let's describe your day for a little bit and raise your hand when you hear something which sounds like a mitzvah. Okay? We haven't even started yet. Right? So you go out to your farm and you get into your tractor and you start to plow. Why is that a mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah, right? You plant. A few months later, you're going to reap. You're going to pick what was there. You're going to be able to eat it. At what point here has there been a mitzvah? When you make a bracha. Great. When you get the food, you're going to make a bracha. Before then, what? Great. So 3 years in, right? Certain laws do apply in Chutz Laaretz. Arla, okay. So Arla, at least a certain form, does apply exactly how it applies. It's a little bit different, but fine, right? Arla will apply, okay? But that's 3 years in. How long is going to take for you to work, for you to hit an actual mitzvah? It's going to take a while. Most of your day is just, you're working, you need money, you need food. You're a farmer for a living. And this is true if any of you become whatever you're going to be. I don't know what you're going to be. Accountants, lawyers, doctors, businessmen. I don't know. Take your pick. Farmers, great. Now it's going to be my fault for all of you who now go home and you tell your parents you're going to be farmers. Okay, fine. That's fine. Okay. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have a million mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz. So now what happens? How much of your day, of your actual work day, is tied up suddenly with mitzvot? A lot more of it, right? If you're picking things and you drop some, you leave them to the poor, right? If you don't drop them, you still, as you're plowing, got to remember to leave that corner of the field. When the first fruit grows, you got to remember to bring that to Eretz Yisrael, to bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. You've got to remember to give 2% to the Kohanim. You've got to remember to give 10% after that to the Levim and 10% to the poor. Bring 10% to Yerushalayim. And suddenly you're a farmer, and every day, while you're picking, while you're planting, there are mitzvot that animate your entire day. And Rabbi Israeli said, now this is his introduction to Eretz Chemda, which is his book, where he tackles the laws, the mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz, the agricultural laws. And he says, you know what it was? He said, look, since we've been in Galus, when we think of what does it mean for someone to be the ultimate Oved Hashem, we can't help but think about people who are learning all day. Because the only type of person we can think of who has the privilege of spending all day involved in Avodat Hashem, in serving God, is someone who gets to learn all day. Because the land isn't holy, we weren't in charge of the government, we didn't have a king. So all parts of life, besides for those things that are classically Avodat Hashem, learning and davening, weren't fundamentally important in and of themselves. So when we would think of what does it mean to be a perfect Jew, who do we think of? We think of people who are learning, people who are, you know, who have the privilege to learn all day, because who else is doing mitzvot all day? Right? Maybe you can find some exception, right? You can find someone who works for one of the many chesed organizations in the community. So they're doing other types of mitzvot all day. But short of very few people who are either learning Torah all day or doing chesed all day, the average person who gets up in the morning, goes to work, spends a decent number of hours doing things which aren't Torah, we tend to feel that the amount of time that is direct Avodas Hashem is limited. But Rav Yisraeli said that's only true outside of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, everything you do has mitzvot tied up in it. Work, every minute of your work is just a few seconds away from the next mitzvah you need to do. And who was it who said they like hiking? Right? Walking, Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Right? So if you go hiking here, you go for a walk, you don't get a mitzvah. Maybe it's healthy, maybe whatever it is, you're getting from place A to place B. In Eretz Yisrael, walking Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So a hike, which here might be a nice thing to do, might be something you enjoy in Eretz Yisrael, is suddenly transformed into a mitzvah. Government, right? For most of Jewish history, we weren't involved in the government, right? We gave that over to other people, or we didn't really have a choice. But all the mitzvot of setting up a court system, setting up a king, all those things, right, they don't exist in Chutz Laretz. They don't exist outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if some Jew happened to be involved in politics, he was lucky enough to be the go-between, between the community and the king, to protect them. That wasn't a mitzvah. I mean, maybe it was pikuach nefesh to have some Jews involved in government. But being involved in government, what is in itself a fulfillment of a mitzvah? And therefore, Rabbi Yisraeli says, unfortunately, our existence in Galus at a certain extent means that the only people we look to as the paradigms, as the perfect Ovd Hashem, are those people who get to learn all day. Maybe do chesed all day. But what about the average person? What about all of you who like playing sports? Yeah. Right? When you're running back and forth across the basketball court. So here, you're playing basketball. There, you're running Dalet Amos. Right? In both directions, the mitzvah, every time you cross the court. Everything in Eretz Yisrael transforms. It, as he says, it democratizes the Torah. It means that not only those people who are smart enough or who enjoy learning enough or have the financial means to learn all day are going to be able to be Ovdei Hashem all day, because the whole existence, the mahus of Eretz Yisrael, is mitzvah from beginning to end, everybody got to be in Oved Hashem, in the purest sense, from morning to night. Sure, we always will give prime place to Talmud Torah, but not everyone will get to learn all day. And even when you're not learning, aren't you going to want to do something else? But in Eretz Yisrael, you can do those other things, and those other things will be intrinsically mitzvot. And the Israeli says that's Torah's Eretz Yisrael, is that in Chutz Laretz, what we imagine is part of being a good Oved Hashem, what we imagine is being spiritual, is so limited. Right? It means the davening in the morning, it means when we have our chavrusa, right? Or we learn by ourselves. It means when we go out of our way to, I don't know, whatever chesed it is. But we don't think of our hikes. We don't think of our job. We don't think of all the things that realistically we spend a lot of our time doing as direct part of Avodas Hashem. We find ways through the back door. We say if you are honest in business, so now this is true. If you're honest in business, so that's good. If you commit to working and using your money for the right things, so you're an Ovid Hashem, that's all true. But the way the Torah is set up is that in Eretz Yisrael, you just have mitzvot from morning to night, so that your job itself, so that your life itself, your walks, your sports, everything is tied up in mitzvot. And that, he says, is the uniqueness of Torah Eretz Yisrael. It allows people, even those people who don't necessarily have the privilege or have the ability or the desire to learn 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, those people who need breaks, or those people who are going to need a job, or those people who want to have fun, the people who want to take hikes, right? It gives us a way. It contextualizes that existence so that even that can also be pure Avodas Hashem. And he says that's really the privilege of Eretz Yisrael. That's the privilege of having a country. Because once you're in it, once you're in Eretz Yisrael, once you're responsible for the agriculture, once you're responsible for the government, once you're responsible for everything from morning to night, and everything is part of mitzvahs yishuv haaretz, and everything is part of mitzvahs atluyas baaretz, everything's about walking dalet amos Eretz Yisrael, everything you do is a mitzvah, then all of us can say, that we are living a pure Torah life. And he says that's really what Eretz Yisrael is all about. It's about taking our existence and making every moment that we live. Yes, our Talmud Torah and our davening, but also our work and also our play and also all the times we have fun. It makes everything. It makes everything part of that picture of what it means to be an Oved Hashem. And that's really what's unique. And the privileges that we have now that we can go back, that we can live there, that we can take hikes there, we can work there, we can help fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, we can help establish the land, we can help support the institutions, we can help the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael. Right, you pay your taxes there, and it supports institutions. It supports the building of roads. It supports the building of communities. It supports the yeshivas. It supports the political landscape. It supports everything that allows existence to continue. Everything you do is channeled in the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you like it or not. And that's a great privilege, and that's an amazing, amazing thing. And that's something that we have to celebrate, that since we've had the privilege of living safely in Eretz Yisrael, because we have a state, because we have a government that, and an army that can protect us in way, it's not perfect. There's still, obviously, we all see it on the news. We know that there's danger. We know Eretz Yisrael's in a tough neighborhood. We know there's terrorism. We know it's hard, but fundamentally, you can live happily and safely, and you can contribute to Yishuv Haaretz, and you can contribute to the state. You can contribute to the country. You can contribute to the communities. Through learning, through davening, yes, but also through chesed, and also through working, and also through everything you do. That's an amazing privilege that we were given when we were able to go back to Eretz Yisrael and reestablish our communities after 2,000 years of not being able to do that. And I think that's something to think about, that when you go next time to Eretz Yisrael and you're just taking a walk, you know, you're just going to visit the places, you're just hanging out in the shuk, you're just going on a hike, doing whatever you want to do, to realize that every step you take, there's a mitzvah involved. To look around and realize that even the people who have the, you know, who are the cashiers are contributing to Yishuv Haaretz and therefore are doing a mitzvah, and appreciate how amazing that is, and really thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us that gift. So with that, Yom Ha'atzmaut Sameach, and it was nice meeting you at my first time at this campus, at least, of Eitz Chaim.